You're listening to the Calvary Church audio experience, designed to empower and encourage you throughout your week.
Well, what's up, Calvary family? Can we clap our hands and rejoice together? So good to see you today. What an amazing time of worship and reflection. Hello and welcome to week three of our eight-week series, Enemies of the Heart. I want to take a moment to welcome those that are here in person, but a special welcome to those that are joining us online. You know what I got to do today, Calvary? I want to honor our lead pastors, Ben and Kim Daly. Can we clap our hands for them, man? I'm going to tell you why. There are so many subjects that we could be focusing on in the middle of this memorable yet crazy year. But our pastors got a word from God. I'm not against any other church or ministry. I'm saying this because I'm simply 100% for Calvary Church. And the message that God is giving us as we turn over this year and enter into a next, I believe it is a word from God for us to focus on our hearts. And I just want to know if there's anybody else that agrees. Clap your hands if you have been receiving ministry, wisdom, revelation, and healing from this series, Enemies of the Heart. Now, make no mistake about it, this series is not about our physical heart. That is a worthy subject, by the way, very important, but this series is about our other heart. You know, the one that philosophers and poets and preachers talk about all the time. They refer to it as this place or this mysterious component that gives us an opportunity to laugh, to love, to fear, and to experience life. I'm talking about the part of you that ignites like a flame when certain moments and memories pop up. I'm talking about that part of you that gets ice cold when you feel the need to protect yourself from potential danger or trauma. I'm talking about that inner part of you. Now, make no doubt about it, no mistake about it, life is hard on the heart. Everything around us is built to attack your heart. We live in a world, a culture, an environment, an atmosphere, social media. There's 1,000 things going on around every single one of us, nonstop, every single second of the day, and it is designed to grab your heart, to paralyze it and suspend it and keep it from accepting the incorruptible seed of God's word and keep you from receiving what God has in store for you. This is why this series is so important to us. This is why we're spending time on this. Proverbs 4:23 is evidence to what we're talking about. It says to guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it springs the issues of life. Another translation says, guard your heart above all else because it determines the course of your life. I'm here to tell you that if you feel like you're going in the wrong direction, if you don't feel the peace you need to feel about where you're headed, it is probably a sign that there's some things that need to be worked on in your heart. That's why we're talking about it. I want you to do me a favor real quick, only take a second. I want you to just close your eyes for a moment, and I've got a question for you. How are things with your heart? Let's get real personal. Just a moment, close your eyes and really think about this question. How are things with your heart? Not your career, not your family, not your finances. I'm talking about your heart. Now, I want to tell you something as we open our eyes together. Chances are you have never taken the time to stop and think about the condition of your heart. If we were all honest, we would all probably say that our heart is out of sync with the rhythm it was created to maintain. We would all be honest and say that the rhythm of grace that God was designed for us to dance to, we are totally off beat. We hip-hopping in a country music tune. We are so out of place, and it's not because something is wrong with you. It's not because you don't believe. It is not because you're not a son or a daughter. It is simply because the condition of your heart has everything else out of whack. Hence, the reason why I celebrate being a part of Calvary Church, because our pastors got a word from God. Before we go any further, we are going to deal with the heart. When you deal with the heart, you'll notice everything else falls in place. I'm about to make a bold statement. We're going to do this together, okay? We're friends. We're family. Jesus may have moved into your heart, but it doesn't mean that you've given him full access. So glad we're friends. I said that at another church. They shouted me down. They came to grab me. They pulled me off the platform. Because that's tough. That's hard. Those might be fighting words for some people. But because we're honest and because we believe in new covenant revelation, and we have no problem being honest, that just because he moved in does not mean that we have given him full access. Here's why. As happy as you are about the fact that you're forgiven, you know what we've noticed? You're not as happy and excited for others. That's a heart issue. As excited as you are about your success, your family, your kids, your job, your career, your business, here's what we're realizing. You don't have that same excitement for others. That's a heart issue. Both are evidence that God is not completed. He has not completed his work in our hearts. Now, make no mistake about it. The spirit was changed instantly when by faith you received the life of Christ. Your spirit was transformed instantly, instantaneous. It was reshaped, remolded, new identity, new DNA. A new blood started pumping through the veins of your spirit. It was changed instantly, but your heart changes over time. Your heart is still a work in progress, but I got news for you. He who has began a good work in you, he is faithful to complete it. So we need to clap our hands and rejoice in the fact that I am nowhere near where I used to be, but I rejoice where God has taken me. See, for some of us, it took years for this blockage in our heart to develop. We've been talked about, lied on, criticized, beat, abused, neglected. You name it, we've been through it, and that's why we're in the condition that we're in. And it is going to take time to develop new habits. Let's be honest. Intimidation, inferiority, judgment, and legalism, it did a number on us. Had us thinking we were doing the right things all alone. When we came into the revelation of grace, we found that everything that we were working for and performing, we already had it in Jesus. And let's be honest, it messed with our heart. But see, we're going to grow in grace, and we're going to get to a place of health. We're going to get to a place of substantial growth in our spirit, in our souls. We are maturing together. We're all on this journey as a team. In week one, Pastor did an amazing job of revealing this first enemy. He called it inferiority. You guys remember inferiority? We had to deal with that main one. That's a major enemy of the heart. We'll never function to our fullest potential as long as we view ourselves as inferior. You remember the story of the 10 spies? You remember the stories that we talked about during that particular message? God wants you to know that in order to have a healthy self-image, it requires that we see ourselves the way that he sees us. No more looking at us through the lens of our past, through the lens of sin, guilt, and shame. It is time for us to see ourselves through the lens of a good father. It's time to take another look at who we are in Christ. Week two, last week, Pastor Ben made a powerful statement. I hope you wrote this down. He says, we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Here's a phrase that we want every single person at Calvary to get familiar with. This phrase right here. Redirecting your imagination. Renewing your mind is simply redirecting your imagination. It's a very important part of understanding, because in order for us to get this revelation, if we want relationship between how we use our imagination and how we receive from God, you got to understand that the two are connected, and our imagination has everything to do with how we receive. Do me a favor, if you miss any part of this series, once you go online this week, check it out. Just take a couple hours out of your day, listen to one, two, and check out Pastor's podcast. You listen to that stuff every day, you're going to see yourself grow in grace. Amen? See, there's another enemy that we're going to talk about today, and I'm going to need your help right now. Because today we're talking about judgment. Oh, don't say wow, say amen. Because I'm going to be dependent on you to help me with this message. This is a tough one. But I believe as we conquer this thing, judgment, this spirit called judgment, we're going to see ourselves walking in another realm of victory. Amen? It's another major enemy that keeps us so focused on others that we rarely, if ever, become aware of what's manifesting in and through us. See, judgment is a distraction. It'll have you so focused on everybody else that you never take the time to take a look at yourself. Wow. I want to start off with a funny story just to kind of break the ice a little bit, because this might be a rough one over here. I can feel it over in this section right here. I just feel like I'm going to need some help today. But a father, son, and their donkey were traveling from one village to another. Walk with me now. The boy walked while the man rode the donkey. The father overheard a bystander. Now, that's a shame, girl. That man is making that poor boy walk. Not wanting to be the object of criticism, the father and son changed places. The boy rode the donkey while the man walked. He then heard another woman make a statement. Would you look at this? You know how we get when we about to gossip. You know how it is. You by yourself. You got me on speaker. You ain't hear this from me. But look, that big old boy is on that donkey while that man is walking. The father and son, they just both climbed off the donkey. The father said, I'm sick of this. And as they traveled to the next town, another voice said, would you look at these two jokers right here? They're both walking when they could be riding the donkey. So the father said, you know what, boy, we just gonna both get up here. We gonna fix this thing. So the father and son, they both climb on the donkey. And as they traveled down the road, a group of people were laughing and pointing, saying, would you believe that big old boy and that man is just on top of that poor donkey, making him suffer? Boy, somebody always got something to say, don't they? So when they entered the next village, the boy was walking and the man was carrying the donkey. I want you to see something, laugh real good, because this is a picture of a person who is giving their ear to the voice of judgment. If you open your heart and ears to judgment, you will always find yourself carrying the very thing that you were called to ride on. You will find yourself under what you're supposed to be over. Oh, I feel like preaching. Okay, there we go. God has called us to move, to flow, a mobility over sons and daughters, but we're paralyzed because we're listening to judgmental voices. No matter what you do, somebody's got a fault to find in it. People with a judgmental heart, they overlook their own faults to criticize yours. See, in our key text today, I want you to understand something, that in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking to the most judgmental group of people on the planet. He's talking to the Pharisees. Why is this important for you to know? You need to know that he is not talking to you. He's not talking to the poor. He's not talking to the lame. He's not talking to the blind. He's not talking to the woman at the well. He's not talking to the woman caught in adultery. He's not talking to the woman with the issue of blood. He's not talking to blind Bartimaeus. He is talking to a judgmental group of people. And when he makes this statement, it is not filled with compassion. Jesus said, you want some of this? I got something for you. This is what Jesus says to the Pharisees, Matthew 7, 1 through 5. He says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And by the way, why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? I don't know if he said it like that. I just felt a shift in the tone. I just felt the shift as I read it. That's how I would have said it. How can you, listen to this, how can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, small thing, dust, when you can't see past the log in your own eye. Hypocrite, first. Somebody shout first. This is a scripture of priority. Get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Somebody say amen to the reading of this word. A judgmental heart is always looking for specks in others. And it always thinks that it's right. You don't know nobody like that that always think they right. But if you do, here's a scripture for that type of person. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of the fool is right where? In his own eyes. See, the Pharisees viewed Jesus with a judgmental heart. They were trying to find fault with the perfect Son of God. And they were upset because every time they looked for something, it wasn't there. So they had to fabricate imperfections and throw them in his directions. So even though he was sinless, they worked hard to try to find something to snatch a hold of his character. I'm here to tell you today that there just might be some people in your life that as you're walking out this grace walk, they are trying to find something in you and they can't find it, so they gotta make stuff up because the old you don't even exist no more. They're trying to find the old you, but the old you has been saved and delivered and is hidden in Christ. So every time they see you, all they see is Jesus. This is the power of the new covenant. Luke 6:7 says the scribes and Pharisees were watching him closely. Don't you hate it when people always got their eyes on you? You know they don't like you and you don't like them. You're trying to figure why they're following you. They your friends, always quoting and making comments and hitting like, and always, can you like, I don't even know you like that. People are not always following you because they like you. Sometimes they follow you because they got to find something in you that justifies the evil that's in them. For the record, there's a difference between judging and being judgmental. Can I tell you something as a believer? You have every right and you have a beautiful privilege to use your discernment, to tap into the voice of the Holy Spirit, and to make sound biblical decisions. You have a right to that. This scripture is not taking that right from you. This scripture is talking about the evil, fault-finding spirit of judgment. Jesus said, I want you to make the right decisions. I want you to know my will. I want you to eyes be open and enlightened by the gospel. I want you to know who you are in me. I want you to be able to measure up the faith that I've given you. And I want you to stir up every gift. And I want you to do great things. And I want you to do greater things than I did when I walked the earth. I want to see great things manifest in and through you. And it's going to take you hearing and responding properly. But you do not have to do it with a fault-finding, judgmental spirit. Now that I'm against. See, we all are maturing and developing in grace. See, here's something about that judgmental attitude. It's critical, it's condescending, it's unloving, and it's unforgiving. There's some characteristics that I want you to write down. You can follow with me. I'm going to move fast because we got to take communion today. We're going to the Lord's table, and we're going to rejoice together. It's been a while. But here are several dominant characteristics of fault finders. You know what I call them? I call them speck inspectors. They're always looking for the speck in somebody. They're speck inspectors. Here's characteristic number one, they're perfectionists. They're quick on the flaw. Not quick on the draw, quick on the flaw. They've always got ammunition full of condemnation, guilt, and shame, and they're quick to draw and shoot you with the bullets of evil condemnation every chance they get. They want to aim something evil in your direction every time you make a mistake. No one can ever reach their unattainable expectations, including themselves. That's why they're always mad. Because they can't even meet their own expectations. So they get a joy in trying to make you feel stupid when you don't meet yours. Here's another one, sarcastic. You don't know anybody sarcastic, but if you do, here's what that person is always doing. They're cutting others down to make themselves look better. Criticizing by using snide remarks. Here's another one, teasers. They make jabs at you by joking, ripping others apart under the disguise of humor. And you know what they do? They excuse themselves with this one statement. After they do something foul and the whole atmosphere changes, they hit you below the belt and you like, what? What was that all about? You know how you get when you're like. Here's what they say. You can't take a joke. You know I'm just tripping. Why are you so sensitive? Here's another one, gossips. They love to talk about people behind their back, but never to their face. You don't know nobody like that. Always posting something. I mean, every time you look up. No, we're not going to go there. Blabbing about others' faults, exaggerating every opportunity that they get. Here's another one, another characteristic, angry. You know, the in-your-face kind of people. Always intense. And they wonder why you don't ever want to be around them. You don't know nobody like that. But their internal anger boils over with criticism. They reprimand people face to face, and they don't care how their words may be devastating those around them. They're always upset. You know the little thing right here is always down. It's never up. It's always got that little thing right there. Even when they're smiling, it look like they're frowning because they're so used to being angry. Never have anything good to say, always criticizing, always just mean, like an old coach who's just been doing this his whole life, and now he's ready to retire, but he still got the wrinkles right there because he's been angry his whole life. You don't know nobody like that. Here's another one, jealous. They feel threatened by others. They always point out other people's imperfections in attempt to make their rivals look bad. Here's the last one, grumpy. They don't like themselves, they like other people even less, and they never have an uplifting word to say. Everything that comes out of their mouth is negative. You don't know nobody like that. But if you do, I want you to understand the contrast. See, our mission at Calvary is to declare and demonstrate the gospel to everyone, every day, everywhere. And it's our biggest concern. One of pastors' biggest concern is that people who come in contact with someone from Calvary, whether in person or online, our prayer is that they don't run into a speck inspector before they meet the Father. Remember the story of the prodigal son? Scripture says he came to himself, he rose, and he went back home. And when he got within sight, when his father saw him from a distance, Scripture lets us know that the father came running. And the father ran towards the son. Why? Because the father wanted to be the first voice that his son heard in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of his mind being torn up, in the midst of the spirit of inferiority and judgment and legalism. Here's what the father did. He said, I'm going to be the first voice you hear, son, before the county, before the community hears you, before the village sees you and start judging you. I'm going to remind you of who you are. I'm going to love you. I'm going to embrace you. I'm going to let you know how awesome you are in spite of where you've been, and I want you to hear my voice before you hear the voice of a fault-finding speck inspector. See, this is our prayer, is that people who are searching and looking, that they will hear the voice of the Father before they hear the voice of a judgment or fault finder. See, judgment is what you see, and criticism is what you say. Both seeing and speaking are extremely important. This is why Pastor Ben over these last couple of weeks has been teaching us to renew our minds, to redirect our imagination, because our imagination, it is the womb of our heart, and it was designed to carry the incorruptible seed of God's word. God wants to put something eternal on the inside of you, but you've got to tend to that soil so you can produce what he desires for you to produce, because if you don't guard your heart, then you will bear seed of corruption and evil in your imagination. See, what we see and what we say will determine what manifests in and through our lives. Let's get biblical for one moment. You ready? The biblical term for criticize, you probably didn't know this. But did you know biblically criticize means to curse? Criticize means to curse. It means to speak evil of. See, when you make critical comments about others, you curse them by assaulting their character. Have you ever noticed that we're usually critical of those who think differently than us? Look at this crazy political environment we're in. We've developed enemies because we found out which side of the fence they're going to vote on. And because they don't think like us, we have overwhelmed the conversation with criticism, words of hate. We are speaking evil of other people because they don't think like us. Let's flip it. Because in order to criticize, you got to use your what? Your mouth. You got to use words. How about this? How about we bless people instead of criticize them? The word bless means to speak well of. When you bless others, we desire God's best for them, no matter what side of the fence they're on, no matter what their background is, no matter what the color of their skin is, no matter what their political preference is. It does not matter. I bless you. I speak well of you. I speak life over you. I pray that you get a revelation of God's heart and love towards you. I speak goodness over you and your home. I bless you. Even though you don't think like me. Now that's New Covenant believers right there. That's a New Covenant. James 3:9 says, with it, talking about your mouth, we bless the Lord. You know how we get. Some of you, I saw some of y'all today. Hey, oh, hallelujah. Oh, you know how you get. You know when that thing, when that spirit hit Jess, oh, say you, hey, oh, you know you close your eyes, you got to see the same voice that you use to bless the Lord and Father, the same mouth. You curse people who don't think like you. James said it ought not to be so. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Fault finding is a consistent practice of spec inspectors. Here's three reasons why judgmental people struggle with fault finding. I'm moving quick, y'all. Spec inspectors have lost their compassion for others. It's easy to find fault when you have no compassion. And that's what many of us, we've fallen into the trap. We don't have compassion for people that look different, talk different, live different, think different. We don't have compassion for anybody that votes different, anybody that has a different opinion, different mind, different heart, different strategy for living. We have no compassion for them. A man wrote love letters to his fiance who was a school teacher. She sent the letters back filled with red ink because she was correcting the spelling and vocabulary. See, if we're only looking for mistakes, we will miss the love message that others are trying to send us. Like oil and water don't mix, criticism and love don't mix. As compassion increases, criticism will decrease. As believers, we are to rejoice because the Father is full of compassion and He is always aiming it in our direction. He is not a spec inspector. In fact, if He sees a fault, He has compassion to heal and restore and renew that area so that we can walk out in our God-given royalty and power and authority. That's how the Father sees us. Spec inspectors, number two, why are they so crazy? It's because they have the same faults as the ones they judge. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that judgmental people, the only reason they talk so much is because they see their faults in the lives of others, and it's easier to talk about it while it's in you than to acknowledge the fact that it's in me. A man and his wife pulled into a gas station for a fill-up. A station attendant washed the man's windshield And when he finished, the man in the car said, "The windshield is still dirty. Wash it again." "Well, yes, sir." The station attendant answered. He washed the man's windshield a second time. When he finished, the man in the car got angry and said, "It's still dirty. Don't you know how to wash windows? Do it again." The station attendant said, "Well, okay, whatever." Washed the man's window a third time. And when he finished, the man in the car began to scream and cuss and rant and moving around and jerk. You know how people get when they're in the car and they're mad. And he looked at the station and he says, "I want to talk to the manager. Where's the owner? Because you have got to be the worst attendant that I have ever seen in my life." And the man's beautiful wife just simply reached over while she was popping her gum, took the man's glasses and washed them with a piece of tissue and put them back on his face. And he embarrassedly slumped down in his seat and said, "Sorry." We criticize loud, but we show humility silently. See, spec inspectors criticize what they perceive to be dirt on others when in reality, they're looking through a dirty lens, the dirty lens of their own heart. They think the dirt is on you, but in reality, the dirt is on the lens of their heart. That's why you don't have to listen to the voice of a judgmental person. That's why you don't deem your destiny based upon the words of a person who is struggling with the spirit of judgment. That's why you don't have to answer the call. You don't have to pick up the phone. You don't have to respond to the text. You don't have to comment on any verbiage that comes from a judgmental person. You are free because the only thing they're doing is trying to put their faults on you. You're free from it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Why do they struggle? Why do people struggle with this judgmental spirit of fault-finding? Spec inspectors, here's number three. They form opinions based on partial, misleading information. They never have the facts. Isn't it funny how the ones with the least amount of information do the most talking? Crazy, isn't it? They always got an opinion. They've always got something to say. They've always got a response. They're always ready for a fight. They're always ready to argue. They're always ready to make you look bad in order to make themselves look good. And they do it under the pretense of bad information. Today, lift up your hands and say, "I'm free." Come on, I'm free. You know what you're free from? You're free from the voice, you are free from the words, and you are free from the false expectation of judgmental people. You may have grew up in a judgmental home. You may have grew up under judgmental leadership. Today, I'm here to let you know that through the blood of Jesus and his power and redemptive work that he finished on the cross, that you are no longer subject to the voice of judgment because he has already made his judgment over you, and his judgment is love, and you can now take on a new voice. You can now live under a new regime. You can now listen to a different father, a good father who approves of you, who loves you, who made you righteous. And when he sees you, he does not see your faults. He sees a perfect son, Jesus, living on the inside of you. You can remove the burden and the false expectations and be free from the power and the spirit and the influence of a judgmental heart. You're free today. You are free today in Jesus' name. Here's a couple of things you need to do. There's some practices. You're going to form some healthy habits. If you're taking notes, move really quick with me. If you want to live above this judgmental heart, if you want to keep your heart free from judgment, three things I'm going to give you. Are you ready? Number one, take the log out of your own eye. Isn't that what Jesus said? The first thing he said was, take the log out of your own eye. See, Jesus said, in order for you to be effective in life, you've got to get the log out of your eye. He's not talking about your physical eye. He's talking about the eyes of your heart. There's a beam in your eye. There's a tree with bitterness attached to it that's in your heart. Remove the tree that's in your heart and you're gonna find yourself doing some amazing things in Christ once you have asked the Lord to help you deal with your own soil. See, Pharisees were amazing. They were wonderful at using magnifying glasses to look at the hearts of others, but they were terrible at looking at mirrors to see their own heart. Today, I'm giving you an invitation to pick up a mirror. And we love mirrors at Calvary because we got a revelation of the new covenant. See, when you look at the mirror, you're going to see how beautiful you are in Christ. You're going to get a picture of how loved you are. You're going to get a picture of how royal you are. You're going to get a picture of how accepted you are. You're going to get a picture of how righteous you are. And the picture that you see is going to be so beautiful that you don't have time to look at anybody else's heart, because you're going to be mesmerized by what you see God doing in your own heart. You want to eliminate judgmental spirit from your life? Then you need to take a look in the mirror and see the wonderful work that God has started in you today. I'm moving quick because communion, we've got to go to the Lord's table today. Number two, you got to change the way you talk about others. Gossip is what you say behind somebody's back that you would never say to their face. Flattery is what you say to somebody's face that you would never say behind their back. Both are fake, and both have nothing to do with who the person really is in Christ. But if you want to know how you're growing and developing in grace, take a look, give notice to how you talk about other people. It will be an indicator that something has shifted on the inside of you, and you no longer see faults in others because you know that they, just like you, have been forgiven. And when you notice that you're not the only person on the planet that's been forgiven of something, just maybe, maybe, just maybe, you start developing compassion for others who need to be forgiven also. Number three, write this down. You want to live above judgment? You want to live and walk in victory? Show mercy instead of judgment. Lift your hands. Father, we thank you that you're the God of mercy and you have given us the ability to be merciful just like you. Judgmental hearts are quick to find faults, but a heart that is filled with mercy will overlook imperfections and will keep no record of wrong. As our compassion increases, criticism will decrease. We will see a loving Father not only showing his love towards us, but we will find ourselves showing his love towards others. Father, we thank you for the ability. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the revelation that this enemy called judgment no longer has a hold on our hearts. We're removing the log. We're changing the way we speak, and we're living a life of mercy. Clap your hands if you received that today. You have the victory in Jesus' name.